9th verse, 7th verse. Which end will we gather that you lead us in, dear Mohan? 402.
Krishna nama charita visita vidya pito patata rasanasya narochikanu kintvadaradanu dinam kalu serva jushta svadvikramad bhavati tat gadamula handri Krishna nama charita visita vidya pito patata rasanasya narochikanu kintvadaradanu dinam kalu saiva jushta svadvikramad bhavati tat gadamula handri Krishna nama charita visita vidya pito patata rasanasya narochikanu kintvadaradanu kalu saiva jushta svadvikramad bhavati tat gadamula handri.
The holy name, character, pastimes and activities of Krishna are all transcendentally sweet like sugar candy. Although the tongue of one afflicted by the jaundice of avidya, ignorance, cannot taste anything sweet, it is wonderful that simply by carefully chanting these sweet names every day, a natural relish awakens within his tongue, and his disease is gradually destroyed at the root. So one thing to be aware of is that this root is offense. So simply by carefully chanting, doing the opposite thing, carefully chanting, with respect, every day, this root, this offensive mentality towards the holy name, practically will be uprooted, will be destroyed.
Jai.
Yes. Jai. Will that day be ours?
I know, man. Yes.
Okay. So I thought we've been talking a lot about developing our relationship with the holy name, and we've been talking a lot about hearing. When we chant. So I thought to look at this a little more practically today, because Bhisma Panchaka is coming up, and it's a wonderful opportunity to get a little more serious about our chanting. 5 days of very intense mercy. So if that intense mercy is matched with intense endeavor, there should be some good result. So one thing I wanted to say is that one of the reasons that we have difficulty relating to Nam as a person is because we don't have a clear understanding of his form at this stage. Now, this is an interesting thing because we have a tendency to accept one thing as being real and anything that comes along after that, there's something wrong with it. We can't accommodate it. Because the nature of the conditioned soul is mental platform, mental platform. If I've accepted this, I have to reject that. But even if we look at something very simple like dried apricots. In my world, dried apricots were Turkish apricots. They were orange in color, sulfur dried. They were, you know, like flat. You know? When I came to India first in 84 and asked for dried apricots in the Navadvip market, round, not orange, seed inside, what's this? And of course, now it's an international community, such a big international community, so the word has come, they give me dried fruits from Armenia and all these other places. The Armenian dried apricots don't even look like a fruit. There's these funny little boat things that are sort of a dark orange. You know, chili offer it to Thakurji and taste it. You don't know what it is. So, you know, we can understand that we have these, even with the simple everyday things, we have this difficulty. So what about nam? So when we think of form, we think two arms, two legs, a head. You know, this is the form that we usually meditate on, think about. But we have to be aware that Krishna, he manifests in actually 84 like species of forms. He manifests in so many forms. So, you know, he can manifest as a spider. He can manifest as, you know, in the form of a boar. He can manifest half lion, half man. He can do all these wonderful things. So why can't he manifest as a bunch of syllables? We have difficulty accommodating that because for us, bunch of syllables is a bunch of syllables. But if we can just somehow or other accommodate it in our mind, that this particular bunch of syllables is the form of the holy name. Now, one way, practically speaking, to change this block that we have is to take those syllables and to worship them. Every day before we start out chanting, we worship these syllables. We offer lamp, we offer flowers, we offer, incense, and we pray. We pray before we begin through this form of Krishna. And it may feel a little bit strange at first, but when you get used to it, you realize, yes, this person is reciprocating me. This person who is taking the form of syllables is reciprocating with me. So I am talking to a person. I am praying to a person. So I'd like you to try it because it's very, very powerful. Just a simple little thing. It'll take you a couple of minutes a day. Just before you start your chanting, just put him on your altar. Offer him lamp.
Yes.
Offer him flowers and incense, whatever else you want to offer him, and then pray to him about your chanting and see what happens. Yeah? Okay.
This gets stuck or something?
Yeah, you can take that off and it'll stick.
It's gonna stick.
Yeah. But whatever you stick it, it's probably permanent, so make sure it's where you want it. Okay, the other thing that I wanted to talk about a little bit is that we have two concepts that are a little frightening to us. We don't really know how to deal with them. One is the concept of mind control. And the other concept is the concept of surrender. These are a little bit of a challenge, practically speaking, for us. Now, what Prabhupada makes very clear to us in his purports, especially his Bhagavad Gita purports, is that in this age, surrender, even says Mahaprabhu, says that the best way to control our mind in Kali Yuga is to chant Hare Krishna. But actually we find also, it's also in Bhagavatam purports, that by hearing Naam when you chant, automatically you are controlling the mind. Automatically you are surrendering. You are surrendering to the sound vibration of Naam. We're talking practicalities.
Yes.
We're talking practicalities. We get caught up in, you know, like, airy fairy tattva and siddhanta and all that stuff, and then we get just frustrated and disheartened and, well, we'll give it a try tomorrow.
Yeah.
You know, but the thing is, practically speaking, just by hearing when you're chanting, that's your best chance to control the mind, and it's the easiest way to surrender to Krishna. So what I've done is come up with some mantras for the mind, because the mind needs its own therapy.
Yeah.
And they're very simple, But don't underestimate their potency. They're very, very powerful mantras. And we'll have a look at a couple of quotes, one from Bhagavatam and one from Bhagavad Gita, to explain why these mantras for the mind are so powerful. So let's have a look at the mantras first. We need more?
Two more.
Okay, so good. So a very powerful mantra. You may find yourself saying this more than Hare Krishna Maha Mantra when you first start. You wake up to how mad the mind is. Stop thinking, start hearing. As soon as you catch it, just say internally, stop thinking, start hearing. Yeah? Simple, just give it an instruction. Yeah? Now the mind is very tricky. If it doesn't rebel against that directly, it may come up with a more subversive way of dealing with you. It'll space out and you'll think that you're hearing but you're doing nothing. Yes. Maybe even half sleeping. Yeah? Yes. It's a favorite one of the minds.
Yes.
So then when you catch him on that, don't space out here. Don't space out here. Okay, so these are two negatives. Then we give him a solid positive. Just surrender to the sound vibration of the holy name. When you get a taste of this, you will not want to chant any other way. Just your whole consciousness will be floating in the bliss of the sound vibration of the holy name. You will not want to, you will not accept any other way of chanting once you get a taste of this. But that means you have to go undergo the austerity of the first two. Yeah? Please just hear, hear, hear. Please just hear, hear, hear. You know, it's so funny because this is the internal path. There's no supports for the false ego in the internal path. The external path, given by Jhanchandra Goswami, on the order of his Guru Maharaj, on the order of Sri Dhammada, is full of supports, ritualistic supports, you know, like all these meditations, all your things you can think, I'm making advancements. You know, like I'm an advanced devotee, I'm really getting somewhere and this is happening. And this. You get really caught up on the external supports and you build up the illusion that you're actually advanced. But all you're doing is practicing a ritual. And a lot of it is manodharma. You're not actually qualified to be practicing anything that's really taking shape and form internally in the heart. So with this practice, the beauty of it is you don't get a chance to build up any more parties. There are no external supports. The only support you have is the mercy of Guru, Gauranga and Nam. So you automatically, you know, automatically it keeps you humble to do it this way. No profile. No profile. Just super simple. I'm super simple. I'm a fool. I still can't do the super simple. You know, it's a very wonderful, wonderful way to do it. But you have to be serious and you have to be not preoccupied with profile. Not preoccupied with impressing people. Yeah?
I have a question.
Sure.
Yes, I fully understand the safety of this path.
Okay.
It's extremely safe and the best way. And I just had a question, probably from previous contamination. It is the ahankar that we are addressing here.
Okay.
So we are superimposing an idea of a servant, like Chaitanya Das, Mohan Chaitanya Das, is also a kind of an imposition. I mean, which we are.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a, we are telling the ahankar,
mm-hmm.
that you are Chaitanya Radhas, you are Chaitanya Radhas.
No, we're not dealing with the ahamka.
Okay.
We're actually ignoring it. We're ignoring it. We're not dealing with it.
Okay.
What we're doing is, you know, like when you have a naughty child in the classroom, you ignore him, he won't be naughty anymore. He's not getting the attention he wants. You praise a child that's been really good. You praise someone that's doing their work. And then the child that's trying to catch attention by being naughty, he thinks, hey, wait a minute, it's not working. You know, like that. So when you're chanting Chaitanya Radhasamy, that's not an imposition, that's a reality.
Yes.
So what you're doing is you're not imposing something, you're injecting a wake-up call.
Injecting a wake-up call, that's
yeah.
What I want to
do. Yeah, yes. That's what you're doing.
Yes.
It's a whole different ballgame.
Yes.
And that's why it's called the internal path, because there's no artificial imposition on the mind
yeah.
When you chant Hare Krishna. Prabhupada tells us that.
Yes, yes, yes.
But the whole external path is imposition
yeah.
On the mind.
Yes. Yes.
The whole thing is imposition on
yes.
The mind. But the mind, even though it's subtle, the mind is external material energy.
Yes.
It's external energy.
Mm.
Yeah? So, is it okay?
Yes, yes.
Okay, good. We just give you a little gift for your chanting. Get to know you as a person in the form of syllables. So let's have a look at this on the back side, why these mantras are essential keys. They're conceptual keys, but conceptual keys are actually the most practical. Because if you really want to get anywhere in your spiritual life, you have to be very clear of the difference between conception and misconception. So if you're trained in the conceptions from day one, little chance you're going to get misled by misconception that are going to really mess up your spiritual life. Because when the seed is wrong, if you're teaching a child Mass, he's in grade one, and you've had, you know, you're not really interested in teaching, you don't like kids, you don't like the subject. So one and one is three. Everybody in the class is learning one and one is three. All right? They go through all of their training in primary school, secondary school, they get to university, then it comes to algebra and all these things, high mathematics, they can't cope with it. It's not because they're not intelligent. It's not because they haven't put in the effort to study. It's because a misconception was planted at the beginning of the stage. So when that happens, everything is distorted. Everything is distorted. The subtleties, your mind is distorted, your mood is distorted, your activities are distorted, all in the name of Krishna consciousness. Not a very pleasant thing. So these conceptual keys are very essential, because if we catch them, then, you know, like we're on safe ground and we're doing, you know, things the way Prabhupada and the Acharyas actually want us to do them. So I wanted to have a look at these keys. The first one is from Bhagavad Gita 6.6 Purport. Very, very interesting. The pure soul is entangled in the material world because the mind is involved with the false ego which desires the lord over material nature. The constitutional position of the living entity is to carry out the order of the superior. But as long as one's mind remains an unconquered enemy, one has to serve the dictations of lust, anger, avarice, illusion, etc. But when the mind is conquered, one voluntarily agrees to abide by the dictation of the personality of Godhead, who is situated within the heart of everyone as Paramatma. Real yoga practice entails meeting the Paramatma within the heart and then following his dictation. For one who takes the Krishna consciousness directly, perfect surrender to the dictation of the Lord follows automatically. So we can see here that the problem is that the mind is involved with the false ego, in effect, the mind is in a contaminated state. And well, how does Mahaprabhu tell us to free ourselves from that contamination? So you can see that what's hindering us surrendering from Krishna, surrendering to Krishna, is a contaminated mind. So Mahaprabhu has said, okay, practically speaking, you want to be free of this contaminated mind, you want to actually surrender to Krishna in a very natural and holistic way. For God's sake, just chant Hare Krishna and hear it when you chant. It's not a big thing. You see, it's such a, I mean, one thing that I love about the Rupa Nugas and Prabhupada's amazing Rupa Nuga is that they are so damn practical. They are so practical. Everything is explained so simply. Huh? And in practical terms, something you can apply. It's not abstract and then you've got to work out how it fits in real life. It's not like that with the Rupa Nugas. They're concerned with Abhideya. So any questions on that? This is a very important concept to catch. Why is it so difficult to hear when you chant? Because you're right at the root of the problem of not being able to surrender. You're tapping in on the root of the problem. You're going to the core of the problem.
And disturb the core.
Yeah. You know? You're going to destroy it.
Destroy it.
Can you see? So then, you know, like, it's a bit of a challenge at first. But if you notice here, Prabhupada says, when the mind is conquered, the mind is not going to be conquered by you. The mind is going to be conquered by Nam, Krishna in the form of the holy name. Yeah? So we don't have to do anything but get out of the way. We just have to get out of the way and hear. So that's why, you know, these first two mantras, stop thinking, start hearing. Don't space out, hear. Just surrender to the sound vibration of the holy name. Please just hear, hear, hear. Yeah? It's such a simple thing.
I called up Mother.
Huh?
I told you that I had a con call with Preeti Madhavu.
Yeah, yeah.
And he spoke to me for 1 hour, Maharaj.
Okay.
And he said the same words which you told me that day. I didn't tell him that what you spoke to me before I left.
Uh-huh.
And he says, why do you want to know? So I said, this is the reason, I just want to build the relationship. So he says that if I tell you, theoretically, you may understand it, but you will never realize it. So he says, if you hear the mantra, and you know, it was a long talk, but his essence was this. He says, you hear it, and it will be revealed. He said, this is our process. And he spoke the same. He said, there's another process, which is external process, but that is not our process. If somebody will give you a Siddha Gurali. He says, our process is, if you become qualified, the Chaitya Guru will reveal it to you. So he says, you stop being a Jigyasu, and apply what you've been taught, you know, high time, and you apply. And he said, the first application is, that you hear. And he says, as you hear, you will see that in time, you will reveal. And I said, if it's not happening, then you cry. Then you cry. You know, so many times Mataji heard cry, we hear. But you know what, when he said, it's something, you know, like they opened up.
Mm-hmm.
He says, cry. Cry for the service. Cry to get revealed. Bring that intensity in your chanting.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and do it.
Mm-hmm.
And he says that this is our line, this is our process. Very nice. He just turned everything around. And then I told him that when I was leaving, Mataji told me, that no, again, I want to know. So he laughed. He said, this, our line is this, that you become qualified and you hear. So he says, well, knowing you will not get it. You will think, even if I tell you, you will think that I know it, but it is a theory.
Yeah,
it's just a mental platform. And he said, that's a jnani path. We don't want to be jnani. We want to be...
That's practical. Why it's so important. You know, like, when Prabhupada says things like this Hare Krishna movement is under the supervision of Sri Rupa Goswami, it's not just a nice statement. Parikshit's statement, that means a lot. One thing it means is we are very practical people. Our preoccupation is Abhideya. So everything is in the practice. So many people know so many things. So many people talk so many things. It just goes in one ear and out the other ear. It doesn't have any effect on you. It has no effect. But somebody who's practicing, and you hear just a few words from them, it'll have more effect than hearing 10 hours from somebody who's not experiencing it. Catching it.
Yes,
sir. Yeah. Okay, good. Any other questions or comments?
So is the internal path working inside out? And the
yes.
External path working outside in? How do we understand this?
You see, with the internal, there's a very interesting, this is funny. There's a very interesting experiment that was done some years ago by the, I can't remember whether it was the Russians or the Americans. I think it was the Russians. They wanted to do some experiments about the power of will. So they took a group of, you know, people they thought were qualified, who'd lost their wisdom teeth and regretted it, who wanted wisdom teeth. And they put them on this program of willing for wisdom teeth. Two of the people, I think there were about 30 people in the group or something, two of the people were dentists, and the rest were professionals from different fields, a couple of housewives, a mixed group. That was very interesting. With most people, nothing happened. With a few people, the tooth grew. With a dentist, it grew perfectly in shape. With the others, it was completely deformed. Because the others had no idea what a
wisdom tooth should look like.
What it should look like.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
So this is why it's dangerous, actually, for a neophyte to play around with Yan Chandra's stuff. Because if you have the clarity of mind, you have the sanskars, you have everything going for you. In other words, you're a highly evolved soul that's ready for that thing. Then because you already have the foundation, you know what you're looking for, you're not going to grow a bad tooth. You know? Mm. But what about the rest of us?
Deformed.
Yeah, deformed. You know? Whereas with the internal, it's foolproof. You cannot access anything until you surrender the hearing. You can't access anything until you surrender the hearing. So if you don't surrender the hearing, okay, you've made a decision to stay in this world for a few more births, maybe many more births. But you've made the decision. But if you make a decision to hear, you can move very quick.
But they don't end.
What's that?
On the other path, they don't end.
The whole thing is, it's more concerned with process, so that there is a chanting and everything there, they do chant Hare Krishna, etc., but the preoccupation is with smaranam, not with chanting. And they're more concerned with, process than with developing a relationship. So it's all depending on, you know, like you have mantras, you have yantras, you have all these things that you're meditating on and you're setting all that in place. You know, you're doing all these things mentally. That in itself takes a lot of adhika to do it appropriately. But, you know, they chant, that's not a problem. But the emphasis is not chanting, the emphasis is smarana.
And that can distract from the hearing, no?
Of course. You know, and then you have the distorted version of it, which is very common at Radhakund, which is, you know, they instead of taking seriously what Yan Chandra is talking about, they think, well, that's a bit tough, so let's just read Leela. So they read Leela while they chant. And that's how they get their life done. Because there's other things you have to do. You have to socialize and you have to, you know, do other things, right? So, and you got to, you know, So they chant and read Astakalya Leela. But, you know, that what is that going to do? It's all monodharma. It's all mental platform stuff, mental concoction. There's nothing real. There's no substance in it. It can give you the illusion that you're highly advanced, which is very dangerous. Even if you are highly advanced, it's dangerous to think you are. You know. But the thing is that if you're following the pras that Rupa Goswami has given, that Raghunath has given, all of that is not there. There's none of that. Because it's based on sambandha. It's very interesting. I was hearing it this morning in CC, in explanation of the Atmarama verse. The two reasons why it's very difficult to develop to catch Krishna, to love Krishna. One reason is because you can't come to the platform of loving Krishna if you're not attached to him. If you're not attracted and attached to him, how are you going to develop love for him? So if you're involved in the process that says don't hear, just read the Leela and mumble the mantras, where's the possibility of cleansing the heart enough to develop that attraction? It's not there. And the other thing is that Krishna doesn't easily give himself. He doesn't easily give love for himself, because if you love him, you can control him. He's not so interested in that. There's enough people controlling him. You know? So, you know, can you see what I'm saying?
I can't see.
You can't see?
Yeah.
Okay, what I'm saying is that with the process that we're talking about, because it's foolproof and it's based on hearing, the effect of the hearing is going to be a cleansing of the heart, which means that you're going to start to feel attraction, attachment.
Yes. Due to Cheto Darpana Mahajana.
Yes. Your heart's becoming uncovered.
Yes.
You're going to find yourself crying when you chant. Nam is so kind. Nam is so amazing. You have that experience. You won't have that experience if you're following some kind of concocted path. Does that make sense?
Yes, no, it makes sense.
It's important to get it very, very clear,
because
it's very subtle.
Yes.
And it can really throw you off balance.
But why did Mahaprabhu give that other path?
Mahaprabhu didn't give it. Sri Damodar gave it.
To highly evolved personalities.
Yeah, very highly evolved people. You know, they may have some use for it. They may have that sanskar also. You know, like I had one brahmachari in my preaching team. His mind was like a mirror. It was like a mirror. When he first came, I had them all learning three Bhagavad Gita slokas a week. He misunderstood me and thought he had to learn the purport as well. And some of those purports were very long, but it was no trouble for him to learn it. Because his mind was like a mirror. But is our mind like a mirror? I don't know about you, but my mind's like coal. Doesn't matter how often I scrub it, it's still black. Yeah?
For sure.
Okay, but let's have a look. Let's just take a look at what it looks like when you actually do perfect this way of doing things. As soon as a pure devotee engages himself in the pure devotional service of hearing, chanting, remembering the name, fame, and activities of the Lord, at once he becomes visible to the transcendental eyes of the pure devotee by reflecting himself on the mirror of the heart by spiritual television. Therefore, a pure devotee who is related with the Lord in loving transcendental service can experience the presence of the Lord at every moment. Srinivas chants the glorification of the Lord not for his personal benefit, But because the glorifications are identical with the Lord, now it really penetrates into the presence of the Lord by transcendental chanting. Powerful. You see how powerful it is?
It's too much for me right now. I haven't got anything of this. I'll have to read it again to even get it.
The second one?
Yeah, the second one.
Okay, let's read it again. As soon as a pure devotee engages himself in the pure devotional service of hearing, chanting, and remembering the name, fame, and activities of the Lord, so he's engaging himself in pure hearing, chanting, and remembering, at once Krishna becomes visible to the transcendental eyes of the pure devotee, eyes of the soul. By reflecting himself on the mirror of the heart. Now he can only reflect himself because the mirror of the heart is clean. Right?
Yes.
So he's reflecting himself on the mirror of the heart by spiritual television.
Yes.
Therefore a pure devotee is related with the Lord in loving transcendental service. This is the thing that we are missing. We are not catching the importance of developing love for Nam. All about, you know, process, all about I have to, all about duty, but no sense of love, attraction, none of that. But that means if you practice regular devotional service, even you perfect it, you're going to be, you know, end up with Narayan. Yeah? So we have to become a little bit more serious, you know, that therefore a pure devotee is related with the Lord in loving transcendental service, can experience the presence of the Lord at every moment. How? Just by chanting. Hearing and chanting, the Lord's... You see, that's why this sentence that is here, this last two sentences are so important. That Nara's not chanting for his personal benefit. He's not chanting so I become purified. He's realized that the sound vibration is no different than Krishna. Yeah? So by chanting Krishna's name, he penetrates into the presence of the Lord. It opens the door into Krishna's presence. Powerful. So powerful. What do you think, Pradeep?
I agree with you.
Prabhuji, that I gave me this example. Mm-hmm. When I spoke to him, mm-hmm. he gave me this example.
Yeah.
The Lord first gave him the darshan, and then he wanted to see him again. And he said, no, you chant, and if you chant my name, I'll be with you.
Right.
So he says he chanted and then he realized.
Mm-hmm.
You,
yeah.
He was here.
Yeah. But he also did that to make him very aware that it wasn't his endeavor that was giving him success. It was his mercy, Krishna's mercy. Yeah. So our endeavor, the only worth of our endeavor is to attract Krishna's mercy. So then, if we are aware of that, we won't be preoccupied with how much we're doing. We'll be preoccupied with the mood of whatever we're doing. Is my mood in chanting going to be attractive to Nam? Going to be attractive to Krishna? Is it going to attract them? Then we're talking heart. What's happening at heart level? You catch it?
With the Govardhan, I met somebody, Maharaj, and he was hearing, and uh-huh. he had that one ear, he had that headphone on,
uh-huh.
and he was chanting, and he saw me, and then after some time, he got conscious that I'm looking, you know, at the headphone, and then he says that a very senior devotee told me that there is a 6-minute japa, Prabhupada, 7-minute japa, 8-minute japa, and if you want to increase the speed, then you do like this, you know. And he says then, so I said, why do you need to increase the speed? He said, because in Ekadasi, I want to chant more. I don't have time. So that very senior devotee has told him, you first try the 8-minute japa, then the 7-minute japa, then the 6-minute japa, and then at the same time, you'll be able to chant 20 rounds, what you are doing 16 on Ekadasi.
Mataji, wherever I sat, there were, I mean, I don't want to take names really. There were people with their watches and perfectly timing, you know, 6 minutes and discussing later that it was a 7 minute round. And that's the sanskar we got.
Right.
You know, growing in that association,
right.
8 minutes of track, I must have, you know, done something wrong.
I must have slept.
I slept out, I slept out. Now I'll get it right, 6 minutes and, you know, 7 minutes for that. It's been going on for years. This is rampant, what he's saying.
Yeah.
No, very, you know, like you said, I don't know to take names, but, you know, I'm surprised when I said that this 6 minutes apart and 7 minutes apart. And I told what you said, that if the Naam wants to chant more, so you want to tell him that let's hurry it up, just get over with it. He says, that I don't understand, but I want to chant more, and I can't see. So I said, what is the purpose of chanting? He says, that I don't know, but if I chant more, it is good for me. You know, it is good to chant more. So if I'm able to chant, you know, in a time of 16 rounds, 20 rounds, then I'm chanting more names, it is more purifying.
Process.
Process.
I said, rampant.
You wasted 20 minutes on an ISD call and then get to Australia, you just waste.
Yeah, yeah.
But he was so pukka, he said, no, this is, you know, and in yeah. 3 months you will get it.
Get what?
And you don't have to get the headphone and you can get the numbers.
Numbers? Yes. What's the worth of numbers?
I've been with Kuran Mataji, now after coming to the class you can appreciate. Maybe
you know, we should remember Raghunath Das Goswami's meditation. Every Naam, I meditate on it just as a wealthy man, as a miser counts his gold coins. Yeah. I mean, the thing is, we're so machine orientated. We're so influenced by, you know, machine mode. But it's really not about. I mean, process is it? You have to know the process, obviously. The process is to hear when you chant and avoid the 10 offenses, in essence. But, you know, like, we don't want to become process wallers. We want to become personless. We want to become, develop our relationship with the Holiness. If there is no sambandha gyan in your chanting, you're going to be around for a long, 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 long time. There's no substance. Any other questions on this? I had intended to spend 10 minutes on this. So if you don't mind, we'll move on. Is that okay? Okay. I wanted to have a look today. I had 7 good reasons to chant Hare Krishna. It's on 428. I'm hoping this will wake you up during this little exercise. Will wake you up to how important it is to be conscious of what you're reading, to question what you're reading and to contemplate it. Because what we're looking at is the first verse of Mahaprabhu's Shikshastakam, and, you know, like seeing all the wonderful gifts that he's giving us within this one first verse. Or she chose to chant. Would you like to chant it, Mahajana?
Cheto darpana marjanam bhava maha dava nirvapanam Shriya kairava chandrika vitaranam vidya vadu yuvanam Anandam mudivardhanam pratipadam purnam vitasvadanam Sarvatma shrapanam param vijayate si krishna sankirtanam.
Let there be victory for the chanting of the holy name of Lord Krishna. not victory for the mind. Let there be victory for the chanting of the holy name of Lord Krishna, which can cleanse the heart and stop the miseries of the blazing fire of material existence. That chanting is the waxing moon that spreads the white lotus of good fortune for all living entities. It is the life and soul of all education. The chanting of the holy name of Krishna expands the blissful ocean of transcendental life. It gives a cooling effect to everyone and enables one to taste full nectar at every step. So in effect, what Mahaprabhu is telling us here are the seven transcendental results that are attained by careful chanting of the holy name. First one is Chedadapanamatanam. The mirror of the heart is purified. The material mind resembles a mirror covered by the dust of innumerable material impressions. They are collected in many lives and prevent one from recognizing the eternal spiritual form of the soul. This is what's preventing us from recognizing the eternal spiritual form of the soul. The original spiritual mind, however, is free from the dust of material coverings, and by chanting the holy name, the superficial covering is removed, and the spiritual state of the mind is revealed. Very powerful. We may have been chanting 20 years, but have we come to this stage yet? This is the opening words of the first verse of Shikshastika. Bhava Maha Davami Nivapanam. Chanting extinguishes the sufferings of the tremendous blazing fire of material existence. In the daily morning prayers, the spiritual master is addressed. The spiritual master is receiving benediction from the ocean of mercy. Just as a cloud pours water on a forest fire to extinguish it, so the spiritual master delivers the material afflicted world by extinguishing the blazing fire of material existence. This fire of material existence is extinguished by the nectarian rain of the holy name, and the holy name is received from the spiritual master. Therefore, the most important instruction of the spiritual master to all of us is to chant 16 rounds daily. So we can see that this Bhava Mahadevagni Nivapanam is following on from Chedadapanamajanam. So how is it that this blazing fire is no longer there, no longer a problem, once the heart, mirror of the heart is clean? Because Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains that this blazing fire of material existence, what is that fire? We have come over here to this place, this material world, to try to be Krishna. We want to be the enjoyers, we want to be the controllers, we want to be the lord of all we survey. Bit of a problem, because everybody that comes here wants that.
So everybody's a competitor.
So everybody's fighting for supremacy. This friction is what lights that fire. And it pains. It pains the heart so much, just as if you put, you know, like, set fire to the heart. It's so painful, this constant friction. So when the Chetadapanamajanam is, when that's done, you're not in competitive mood anymore. You're not interested in competitive sense gratification, material or spiritual. Somebody wants to go and pick all the flowers before you go out, no problem. If Vrindadevi wants me to have the flowers for Thakurji, Krishna's going to give it, even if everybody in MET goes picking flowers. She'll hide a few here, she'll hide a few there. I'm not going to worry about this mentality. Yeah? You see? Shriyakaraiva Chandrika Vitaranam. Chanting resembles a cooling moon rays which cause a white lotus of good fortune or auspiciousness to bloom. A white lotus flower fully blossoms when it is touched by the moon's rays. Similarly, the moonlight of the holy name reveals all auspicious things to the serious chanter. Even if one chants in the Namabha stage, which is not yet the perfected stage, he will be free from all past sins and influences which make him suffer. We read about that last week. So, you know, very powerful. Vijayabhadra Jivanam. Chanting is the life and soul of all knowledge. The Sanskrit word vadhu means bride. In the heart of the devotee who chants the holy name Bhakti Devi, the bride of the Lord appears, together with her two sons named knowledge and renunciation. Chanting evokes transcendental knowledge in the heart and naturally relieves one from the unhealthy grip of material attachments. Now this is a very subtle thing that's being said here, because this knowledge and this renunciation, we're not talking dhyan. We're talking bhakti. So knowledge, we're talking sambandhavidaya prayojan. Holistic knowledge, knowledge that's revelational. And renunciation, we're not talking phagu. We're talking vairagya. Vairagya can only be experienced factually by someone who's convinced that they're the servant of Guru Gauranga. If you are the servant of Guru Gauranga, everything, everyone in this world is for Krishna's pleasure. How can I engage this thing? How can I engage this person for Krishna's pleasure? For Gauranga's pleasure? Yeah? So it's so beautiful. In the heart of the devotee who chants only in Bhakti Devi appears. And then these two sons naturally appear, but they're not, you know, don't confuse them with, you know, how we usually think about knowledge and renunciation. Anandam Vadivadanam, from chanting arises the auspicious ocean of transcendental life. This means that our whole spiritual life depends from our chanting, develops from our chanting. We've really got to come to terms with this. We really have to, you know, like somehow or other wake up to the fact that this is the reality. Our whole spiritual life develops from our chanting. So if you know that your whole bank balance is going to develop from keeping stricter records on how you're spending money, how carefully you're going to spend money and how carefully you're going to keep your records, because you want the money, right? So if you are convinced, if you know that my whole spiritual life depends on my chanting, are you going to take it cheaply? Not unless you're suicidal. Yeah? It all depends on the chanting. Why? You know, it's so practical. We miss it. Why? Because it's the chanting, the hearing and chanting, that actually gives us revelation that we are Krishna's servants. Because of the Cheta Dharma Namojana. The heart is cleansed. So we can actually, by chanting, not by reading about it, not by talking about it, but by chanting. Hearing and chanting. Then, and you know, we also have to remember that it's not just the process that is potent. It's because Mahaprabhu has said, this is the process for this age. And he just happens to be Swayam Bhagavan Gaur. He just happens to be no different than Radha Govinda, the supreme original personalities of Godhead. So it's not just that the process is very powerful, but the person who is given the process, who is saying this process should follow. So, you know, you've got so much behind you.
We just keep on saying process, we ignore the person, we don't think about who is given.
Yes.
We focus on the process that we will be given.
Yeah.
After some time, the process becomes meaningful.
Yeah, but the process can't, you cannot have a relationship with the process. I've said this many times. Can't have a relationship with the process, no reciprocation with the process, no rasa with the process. Everything is coming from a relationship. Yeah? You can't have a relationship with the process. You have to have a relationship with the giver of the process. So giver of the process, don't think in a box. We're not just talking Gurudev, we're not just talking Mahaprabhu, we're not just talking Nam, we're talking all of them. They are the giver of the process. Spiritual world, one on one, makes three. Huh? Get away with it up there, anything's possible. Okay, so yeah, this awareness that our whole spiritual life develops from our chanting. So if we're not taking our chanting seriously, our spiritual life is not developing. Can you relate to that?
Yeah.
Okay. So what's the natural conclusion?
Chant seriously.
Chant seriously.
Here.
Good. Paripadam punamrita svadanam. At every step, sincere chanting invokes perfectly sublime nectar. Savatma snapanam. Chanting has a cooling and refreshing effect on everyone. The desire to enjoy material life is like a spreading fever or fire, which affects a conditioned soul and tempts him to act sinfully, even against his own will. Sri Krishna explains in Bhagavad Gita, it is lust only which is born of contact with the material mode of passion and later transformed into wrath, and which is the all-devouring, simple enemy of this world. By chanting the holy name, however, this fever is lowered and thus one's material life gradually diminishes. So again, you know, it's the practicalities of the thing that we have to look at. Why? Why is it the fever is lowered and one's material life gradually diminishes? Because by the Chetadapana Majjhanam, you are starting to understand you are a servant, Nam is master. And it's real. It's not just some flitting thought that goes through, oh, that's nice. But you're actually experiencing it. So then you're going to live a different reality. You're not going to live a mundane reality. Any questions on this before I go on? Okay.
Quite a package.
Huh?
Quite a package.
And that's just the first verse.
So when we do Aarti in the morning, Mataji, we should take that 7 lamp. So that we remember this is 7.
That's a good idea. Have to go to another dude to get one. Okay. I want to have a look at some more conceptual keys. These are actually essential conceptual keys. From Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakura's Prakata Rasa Sabhavishnu. We're looking at page 441. Very interesting. I call them essential practicalities guiding true Nam Bhajan. Because if you don't have these conceptual keys right, you're going to go off track. It's going to be a problem. Stop me if you have any questions or comments. The Lord's real devotee never knows any difference between the holy name of Krishna and transcendental mellows. Therefore, the devotee never says there is a difference between the holy name and the mellows of devotion or rasa.
That's a very big one.
Very big. Very big. For now, I don't want to discuss them unnecessarily, but I want you to catch them and just accept that these are essential conceptual keys. If you don't catch this one, how are you going to ever taste the rasa of the holy name? The holy name is never revealed to one who is situated in the bodily concept of life and thinks in terms of eye and mind. If one doesn't reject the enjoying mentality, the transcendental platform will never be attained. Now, if you're intelligent, when you read this, you won't become depressed. You'll think, I really have to start hearing when I chant. Because all of these problems will be solved by hearing when you chant. Being situated in bodily concept of life, thinking in terms of eye and mind, having the enjoying mentality, All of that you can overcome just by hearing when you chant. Because when you're hearing when you're chanting, it's in the mind. You know, the illusion that you're all these things is being cleared off.
The first one, Mataji, when we say there is no difference between the holy name of Krishna and the transcendental mellows, what does it mean, Mataji?
You see, you can't separate Krishna. A lot of these misconceptions come because we don't understand nama, nami, and non-different. A lot of these misconceptions we're looking at now come because of that. So when you understand that nam is Krishna, can you separate Krishna from rasa? You cannot. Okay? The devotee never says that the holy name of Krishna is material, for Krishna cannot be known by means of matter. The pure devotee, the Lord, never recognizes any difference between the holy name of Krishna and pure rasa itself. By employing pretentious means, no one can ever make transcendental mellows appear in the holy name. The backwards conception that Krishna's name comes from rasa can never be true.
This is the contamination.
Big one.
Yes.
If one still has unwanted material impediments and natas present in his performance of devotional service, sadhana, then rasa can never truly awaken. When the holy name of the Lord is chanted from the platform of pure ecstatic emotions, bhava, then the chanting mood born of pretentious devotional mellows can never be present.
The cheating mood is...
What's that?
And the chanting is... My cheating mood.
Yeah, the cheating mood born of pretentious devotional mellows.
Yes.
Had a problem with that?
Yes. I heard chanting.
Oh, okay.
I'm sorry.
No problem.
Yes.
We'll do ask questions if there are any.
Yes.
The genuine devotee never maintains materialistic conceptions about the holy name of Krishna. If the deviations that impede devotional service, anattas, have not been expelled, then the chanting of the holy name will never reveal the beautiful form of the Lord. As long as anattas remain, then the chanting of the holy name will never produce an understanding of the transcendental qualities of the Lord. As long as anattas remain, then the chanting of the holy name will never factually engage one in Krishna's service.
In the previous one, Mahadi says that then the chanting of the holy name will never reveal the beautiful form of the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
So one we say with the Hari Ram Prabhu, so we're saying, so as we're chanting, the same name will reveal the form of the Lord?
Yes. The name, the form of the Lord, according to Bhaktivinoda Thakur, will be revealed when we attain nistha. So that's why Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati is stressing so much, get rid of the anattas, because anapanavritti, nishtha.
Also, the holy name is the form of the Lord.
Yes.
So, the
revelation... But you're not going to realize it,
yes,
for as long as the anattas are there.
Anattas are there.
Right. It's like a covering.
Right.
So, you know, like the sun is in the sky, if you're in a plane, no problem, you see it.
Mm.
But if on your earth and there's clouds, no sun today.
Mm.
You're convinced there's no sun today.
Yes.
There is sun, but your vision is clouded.
Yes.
So you have to get above the anattas.
Mm.
Isn't it one of the two things when you say that, like Prabhupada said, that when the holy name will reveal the form of the Krishna, and when we say the name and the form of Krishna, there is a difference between two, isn't it, Mataji?
Always splitting hairs. You see, we have nam in this form, as a form of syllables, the most merciful form. When we take shelter of this form in the sound vibration of nam, which is also a form in sound, then the heart will be purified. When the heart is purified, you will understand, not understand, you will realize the Lord of your heart. When you realize the Lord of your heart, you'll also realize who you are.
Yes.
And everybody else's.
Yes.
Yeah?
Yes.
Yes. So you can you see? Yes. It's sort of like, yes, like this is how he's coming to us first.
Yes, Mother. I think this is the clearest way I've heard, Mother. Yes, this is the crux which you said. Yes, this is also the form, and the sound is also the form. And yeah, once we do it, then the Lord of our heart will be revealed to us.
Yes.
And we will know who I am, and then who everybody else is also.
Yeah. Revelations of the Lord's transcendental name, form, qualities, and pastimes are never manifest in the absence of His holy name. No way around it. The holy name of Krishna is never separated from His transcendental name, by His transcendental form, qualities, or pastimes. They are inherent in Nam. Astakaliya Lila is within Nam. Everything is within Nam. It's just a matter of him, deeming to open up four lotus for us. But how is that lotus going to open up in a heart that's full of junk? That lotus needs some room. So, he's not going to elbow his way in. Mm-hmm. First you clean up the mess, get rid of the anattas. Then that lotus can open up.
There is another analogy, in the book also, right? The lotus is open little, and then little, then the smell comes.
There is something in the book. The true followers of Srila Rupa Goswami, Rupa Nugas, never claim that the revelation of the Lord's holy name is separate from His pastimes. The Rupa Nugas never teach that the holy name of Krishna and Krishna Himself are two separate things. The followers of Srila Rupa Goswami never leave the path of the great devotees, the Mahajans, to run to pursue a new path. One who commits offenses can never realize the holy name of Krishna at any time. Now it's important to note the connection between those two sentences. It is an offense to the Mahajans and to the path of the Mahajans to come up with a new one. Yes, that's the offense we're talking about here. One who commits offenses can never realize the holy name of Krishna at any time. So this... chanting holy name. So this is the offense we're talking about, this pursuing of a new path, one to pursue a new path. Very, very dangerous. First thing in a new path, following a new path or creating a new path will do is give an incredible sense of false ego and pride. And that will very quickly lead to offense. I know better.
But following a new path could be like, even a degree shift.
It's not what we're talking about here.
Okay, this is
like... We're talking about moving away from the path given by the Mahatma devotees.
Yes.
In our place, we're talking about the path given by Prabhupada.
Yes.
Because actually, one thing that we're not yet convinced about, because it'll take time, and more miracles to make us convinced. We are not yet convinced of the genius, transcendental genius, and potency of Prabhupada. We're not really yet convinced. But the thing that if you do a lot of, if you look a lot at the works of the previous acharyas, especially Bhaktisiddhanta and Bhaktivinoda Thakur, and you know Prabhupada's books, you'll be in awe and reverence You look at their work, you come back and look at Prabhupada's work, and you see how he's made it so accessible for us. He's not eliminated anything, he's not compromised anything, but he's put it in a pristine, transparent way that we can access through simple things, just simple things like, please engage me in your service. Krishna's, Prabhupada's understanding of what he gave us as the meaning of the holy name. You know, we may think, oh, it's so simplistic. Let's have a look at what Bhaktivinoda Thakur said. Let's have a look at Raghunath Das Goswami, what he said. But if you have a look at what Prabhupada said, and you unpack it, you'll see that everything is within that. From sadhana to Brahma Bhakti, whether you're talking to Pralamba Prem or Sambandha, it's all within, please engage me in your service. It's phenomenal. Mm-hmm. Yeah? So, you know, we lose track of that. We get caught up, you know, in the flowery language of the Vedas. Mm-hmm. But we have to remember that the great sages who know all the Vedas, what did they choose to do? They gave up all the branches of the Vedic knowledge to sit on a branch in Vrindavan and sing for Krishna. That's how much Vedic knowledge meant to them. Better I just sing for the Supreme Lord. Take the form of a bird and sing. I sit on the branch of a Vrindavan called a Riksha tree instead of the branches of the Vedic knowledge. No? The Lord's devotee never interprets the holy name with any mundane, materialistic conception. The devotee never chants the holy name of the Lord in an offensive manner. Those whose minds are absorbed in the spirit of enjoyment of matter and who possess materialistic faith can never experience the revelation of pure spiritual consciousness. Without absolute faith in the Lord's holy name, one's mundane mentality can never be cast off. Now this last sentence is very, very important. Without absolute faith in the Lord's holy name, one's mundane mentality can never be cast off. We have mundane mentality, we have enjoying mentality. How is it going to be best dealt with? Hearing the holy name. If we want to have faith in that, we have to obviously, you know, it's not, Nam is not an ordinary sound vibration. Nam is Krishna. We have to have at least some understanding and some theoretical faith in that. Huh? And then we will start to experience it. And then we can...
I have a question. Sure. What does absolute faith mean?
Absolute means no contamination of jnana or calmness or yoga, anyavilas. No contamination we're looking at here. It's not mixed with other processes. It means our full faith lies in Nam. Very simple example I can give. And we all experience it. We may be fearful of the dark. Yeah? Maybe fearful of the dark. I have good reason to be fearful of the dark in Vrindavan. There's a lot of goodness around, a lot of monkeys around, a lot of potholes around. Yeah, so fearful of the dark. Now, you can take shelter of your istadev to deal with the dark. But if there's light, do you still continue taking shelter of your istadev, or it's light now? Can you see the difference?
Yeah.
One is relative faith and one is absolute.
In any case.
In any case. In any place. In any time, circumstance. I'm taking shelter of none.
Yeah.
Is it, have I made it clear?
Yes.
You know, like if we're walking in the dark, you know, we're chanting very seriously and, you know, like really concentrating and, you know. But as soon as the guard turns on the light, oh. Where's the chanting? Where's the dependence?
Yes.
Monkeys can also attack in the light. You can also fall into a pothole in the light.
Material realm, the duality is this, that actually there is no, it's always dark.
Yeah, it's always dark. So the more we become aware of that, you know, and then we can depend fully on Krishna. In any circumstance. It's not that because there's a, you know, this is what Prabhupada talks so much about in Bhagavad Gita purports, you know. We have so much faith in these false shelters. So much faith in false shelters. This God will protect me. This will, that will, this, everything, all, everything but Krishna, everything but Ram will protect me. But actually, who's the actual person that can protect me? Right? In all circumstances. Sudden and gross. One who is reluctant to give up his materialistic mentality will never receive the mercy of the holy name of Lord Krishna. Without first receiving the mercy of the holy name, one should never listen to recitations of Krishna's confidential pastimes.
What do we understand by mercy of holy name here?
Heart has been cleansed.
Can you also mean, Mataji, that we should not read anything for the confidential pastimes till the time the holy name doesn't reveal it to us?
At least, until the heart is purified, because it's detrimental. But as long as there's any contamination in the heart of me being the enjoyer, me being Krishna, as soon as you read Asa Kaliya Lili, you're going to push him out the door and take his place. You're going to get involved in illicit activity. This is what happens to so many of them that do this prematurely.
That is the proof.
That is the proof.
Yes.
Yeah, that's the proof. You've acted immaturely. You weren't ready for it, and now you've fallen into a missing connection. Yeah. Yeah.
One who's reluctant to give up the materialistic mentality will never receive the mercy of the Holy Name. Materialistic mentality, I mean, I'm not reluctant.
Okay. But
it's not within my control.
Huh.
The materialistic mentality which is imposed on
you. Don't worry about it.
Okay.
You just hear the holy name.
Okay.
Let name take care of it.
Hmm. Yes, that's what I want.
Let name take care of it.
Yes.
We do our best.
Yes.
Let the name take care of it.
Well, is it not the 10th offense, Mataji?
What?
To maintain materialistic.
To have an material payment even after
the 10th offense. Yeah. It's a big one. But, you know, all of the offences, if you take, Jagannanda Pandit says this in Prem Vibhata, that if you take full shelter of Nam, he will forgive you of offences even to him. But if you again, you know, get slack, big problem. There'll be major disturbances in your spiritual life. But he is very merciful. You take shelter of him, he'll take care of it. If one's consciousness is blocked by material conceptions, then Krishna's pure transcendental form can never be realized by chanting the holy name. If one's consciousness is blocked by material conceptions, then Krishna's pure transcendental qualities can never be realized by chanting the holy name. Due to the blockage of offenses, aparad, one can never attain the flow of pure transcendental mellows. Due to the blockage of offences, one can never factually experience the holy name of the Lord. Very sobering. But can you see, it's nothing to get terribly concerned about. It's just being aware. Every now and again we read through these and we say, okay, these are the concepts that I have to be clear about. I have to be clear that this is the reality.
Yes, it's also a benchmark.
It's also a good benchmark.
So
very good point.
Yeah, it's so sobering just to read it.
Yeah.
We
need it. We really, really need it. Okay, any further questions on that? Okay, it's been a little bit heavy. So let's have a look at something else. 4:13. We'll read about the sweetness of the holy name. Yeah. Bit of icing on the cake. Pretty solid German cake today. The honey within the holy name is remembrance of Krishna. That is why chanting the name brings ecstasy. This is such a beautiful statement. Honey within the holy name is remembrance of Krishna. So by chanting, clearing the heart, we will remember Krishna, and that is the honey. Kali Yuga is an ocean of hypocrisy and pollution. In Kali Yuga, all material elements are polluted, such as water, earth, sky, mind, intelligence, and ego. The only auspicious aspect of this fallen age is the process of chanting the holy names of the Lord. Simply by the delightful process of Krishna Kirtan, one is freed from his connection to this fallen age, Mukta Sangha, and goes back to Godhead, Param Bhajet. Lord Krishna's movement of Krishna consciousness, Lord Chaitanya's movement of Krishna consciousness is full of dancing and singing about the pastimes of Lord Krishna. It is compared to the pure waters of the Ganges, which are full of lotus flowers. The enjoyers of those lotus flowers are the pure devotees who are like bees and swans. They chant like the flowing of the Ganges, the river of the celestial kingdom. Lord Gaurachandra is singing in a sweet voice, singing gracefully the Maha Mantra. He is asking everyone, whether householder or in renowned sort of life, to chant always the Maha Mantra. Either in distress or happiness, never forget chanting this Maha Mantra. Make this practice how to continue this chanting always. Gradually, we are losing the duration of our life, and if we don't take the opportunity of worshipping the Lord of the senses, Krishna, then we are simply wasting our time. Now we are fully conscious. Let us now chant loudly with the holy names of Radha Madhav. Being entrapped in the network of illusory Maya, we are simply engaged in false duties. Therefore, it is a good advice of Bhakti Vinod that everyone should become mad after chanting the Maha Mantra. He is requesting everyone to do so. There are three stages of chanting the holy name. Chanting with offense, chanting as a liberated person, chanting with full love of God. These progressive stages of chanting are like the ripening of a mango. An unripe mango tastes sour. When the fruit is fully ripened, it tastes very sweet. Initially, we may be reluctant to chant, but when we become liberated, the chanting is so sweet that we cannot give it up. Liberated stage is Namabhas. In this regard, Srila Rupa Goswami has composed a beautiful verse describing the sweetness of the holy name of Krishna. I do not know how much nectar the two syllables Krishna have produced. When we chant the holy name of Krishna, it appears to dance within the mouth. And then we desire many, many mouths. When the name of Krishna enters the holes of the ears, we desire many millions of ears. And when the holy name dances in the courtyard of the heart, it conquers the activities of the mind. And therefore all the senses become inert. The holy name is actually the sweetest nectar. But until we reach the spontaneous stage of devotion, one has to outsmart the mischievous mind. The mind is called chanchala, or unfaithful. But it can become the devotee's best friend. When one chants Hare Krishna and performs other duties with concentration and devotion, the mind clears and the devotee realizes his true interests. Then the devotee becomes attracted to serving the holy names in the Ankamtina spirit, single-minded service to the holy name. Any questions on that? Okay. Mahendra, I want you to give us a melody for Hare Krishna Kirtan, and we'll take a look at 501, which is ecstatic. This is based on Madhya 7, where Krishnadas Kaviraj is explaining or telling us about Mahaprabhu's South Indian tour. It's very, very ecstatic. page 501.
A human chain of Nam Prem. Very, very beautiful.
Thank you, Sir Kithanchi.
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama.
Cut in the strain.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama.
Mahamantra, we'll chant that tune. Almost like a mad lion, Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went on his tour filled with ecstatic love and performing Sankirtan, chanting of Krishna's holy name. As soon as he saw someone, he would request him to chant, Hari, Hari! Whoever heard Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu chant, Hari, Hari! Also chanted the holy name of Lord Hari and Krishna. In this way, they all followed the Lord, very eager to see him.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
After some time, the Lord would embrace these people and ask them to return home, having invested each of them with spiritual potency. Each of these empowered Nam Bhaktas would return to his own village, always chanting the holy name of Krishna, and sometimes laughing, crying, and dancing.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama.
Such an empowered person would request everyone and anyone, whomever he saw, to chant the holy name of Krishna. In this way, all the villagers would also become devotees of Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. People from different villages who came to see such an empowered, spontaneous preacher would become like him simply by seeing him and receiving the mercy of his glance.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
When each of these newly empowered Nam Bhaktas returned to his own village, he also converted the villagers into devotees. And when others came from different villages to see him, they were also converted. In this way, as these empowered preachers went from one village to another, all the people of South India became devotees and loudly chanted the holy name.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna.